Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Steve and Tara Eben in memory of Steve's grandfather, Yitzchak Isaac ben Moshe Irving Eben Alav Hashalom, on the occasion of his yahrzeit. And in the zchus of our learning together, may the neshamas indeed have a great aliyah. All right, we are going to pick up from the end of Perek Yud Zayin, where we left off last week. I'll share my screen with you all in a moment. And last week we developed, somewhat compellingly, that there are many comparisons between the rendition here of the story of David and Goliath, and leading up to the war or the battle, and then the actual battle itself, and subsequently to the story of Yosef, and reminiscent and reminding us of the power of Hashgacha Pratis, of divine providence in every aspect of this journey. All right, and so we pick it up from Pasuk Nunhei, Bechir Os Shaul Es David. I'll share my screen with you, for those who may not have a Navi in front of them. Okay, this is, let's just scroll up just a little bit here. And there we go. Okay, end of Perek 17, Pasuk 55, Nun Hei. V'chir os Shaul es David, yotzei l'kras haplishti. When Shaul saw David going out to assault, do battle with the Plishtim, Amar el Avner, Sar Hatzava, Ben Miza Hanar Avner. He said to his military chief, Avner Ben Ner, who's this kid? Ben Miza Hanar. Vayomer Avner, and Avner responds, Chenaf Shecha Hamele Simyadati. I swear I have no idea. So, now, this is like, it seems to be a little bit of a summary here, because this dialogue, as being recorded, is after the confrontation between Shaul and, between David and Goliath. So when it says, and when Shaul saw that David was going out to a battle, it means originally, before it happened. And so the Navi is telling us this in context of now, after he sees that David won the battle, won the encounter, and beat Goliath, Vayomer HaMelech, and the king says, Sha'al ata ben mizeh ha'elem. Now, find out who this young fellow is. So, Pasuk 55 and 56, they are before the confrontation of David and Goliath. Ukishuv David mehakosas haplishti, and when David returns from smiting Goliath, so Avner takes David and he stands him up before Shaul, and David is standing there holding Goliath's head in his hand. And Shaul says, Ben Miata Hanar, young boy, whose father are you? Who do you belong to? David, and David says, Ben Avdecha Yishai Beis Halachmi. I am the son of your servant Yishai from Beis Lachem. Okay, now this series of five psukim here is really enigmatic, because did Shaul really not know who David was at this point? I mean, Hayitachen, is that possible? It's not really possible. I mean, it's not likely. Because indeed, Shaul had already met David. Let's take a look here. But I think that there's something quite powerful here that the Navi is setting up for us. So let's take a look here at the Mefarshim. One second, I'll take questions in a few minutes. So Rashi, I have here on the right hand side, I'm going to do the Malbim. One second. Who are we going to do first here? We're going to do here the Malbim. The Malbim is, includes a little bit of what Rashi says. So take a look here at the Malbim. And the Malbim says the following: Lahasir haplia al Shaul sheshal al Avi David hu kvar yada ki hu ben Yishai. It's very strange that Shaul is asking who David is, who his father is. He knows who he is, as was pointed out earlier in the Navi. Ki es yofia haor haloki, but says the Malbim, David has the or of Hashem emanating out of him. Vayivakak shachar oro al ish haruach ki karan or panav. And therefore, he has this different look about him, because Hashem Shechina is dwelling on him. Okay, that's an interesting approach. Umitzad zeh, and furthermore, ba'es hishlabesh David ruach gvura v'zor eloki lo hikiru shaul ata. So, when David, you know, got dressed up as this man of war and comes with this courage, and he has, you know, the Shechina with him, there's just like a different look. He doesn't recognize him. Again, my friends, this week's shiur is not a Yosef David connection, but clearly that's another Yosef David connection. In that Shaul, it's like almost hard for him. He cannot recognize David. By Yidrosh Lemor, and he says, Mi ha'ish haruach ala zulam, however, lefi ha'pshat, the simple pshat is the following. Achar sheshaul hivtiach laseisas bito lahamenatzeach, Shaul promised his daughter, if you recall, Shaul promised his daughter to whoever would beat Goliath. Right? That was a common practice in days of old. If you beat my enemy, you get my daughter. Right? Apparently, the king had confidence that his daughter was a prize and not the other way. So as tekef bit nadev David lilchom oso. So now David volunteers to go in battle. Al alibo. So Shaul is now thinking to himself, wait a minute, if this guy's actually going to go, and or now that he's come back, is he really worthy of my daughter? V'lachein darash tekef al kvod beis aviv. He immediately wanted to know who his father was. In other words, is he coming from a family that is ra'ui to marry into the Beis HaMelech? Ki adash Hashem aviv Yishai rak ladat yichuso malato. He knew that this guy was the son of a person called Yishai, but he didn't know who is Yishai. Who is this family? Who are you, David? The Amar ben Mizahanar Avner, and he said to his military head, Avner, who is this kid? Im aviv miyuchas v'nechbad v'naso panim. Does he come from a family that is worthy? Sheyischatenim haMelech. The Avner lo yada mane, and Avner had no idea. Ki chavod Yishai lo noda az, because Yishai's renown was not quite known at that point. Okay, so that's what the Malbim says. The Malbim says basically that, or the Malbim says two things: that he didn't recognize him because he just had a different look about him, or he didn't recognize him. Doesn't mean he didn't know who he was. It means he wanted to really understand. Is this guy ra'ui to marry into the family of the king? So says the Malbim. Now the Abarbanel says something a little different. The Abarbanel, like Rashi, cites a midrash. So let's see where the Abarbanel starts over here, and he says, starting here in the third line, everybody can see Ben Mizahanar. The Abarbanel points out that when Shaul inquired with Avner about who David was, he says, Ben Miza Hana'ar. Who is this Na'ar? Who is this lad? V'lo haya Shoel ze lihidnakrobo, v'lo ladad mashmo v'shem aviv, aval haya Shoel im haya aviv ish gibor chayel. He wanted to know, is his father somebody of great courage? Achari shahaya b'no yotze likras ha'plishti. After all, this young whippersnapper is going to go out and without any fear and with courage and brazenness, and he's going to say, "What's that like? You know, where does this kid come from? You know, where does he get this from? Where is his DNA?" Ha'im hu ben ish gibor rav pe'alim she'itamelav b'no be'ometz levavog v'ratav. You know, is this hereditary? Is this something that he got, or is this something which he earned? In other words, I think what the Malbim is getting at is, or what the Abarbanel is getting at is, he wants to know the nature of the person. Is he somebody who's naturally courageous? He got it from his family? Or is this something that he, or is this somebody who's extraordinary that developed it on his own? But it goes further here. Other Mefarshim point out that when Shaul says to David, he says, when he says to Avner, let me get it here 1 second, Ben Miza Hanar, who is this lad? Who is this lad? Right? And Avner says he doesn't know. And if you skip ahead a couple of psukim, so Shaul then says to Avner, Vayomer love Shaul. Shaul says to David, Ben Miata Hanar, who are you? Who is your father, O lad? So when he's talking to David, he calls him a lad. When he's talking to Avner, he calls him a lad. Look at Pasuk 56, Vayomer Hamelech. Vayomer Hamelech, and the king says to Avner, Sha'al Ata, you Avner, go investigate, go out to the public and ask, Ben Mizeh Ha'olem. Who is this Olem? Now, Olem means, a young guy.
Olem, yeah.
Right? Like a young lass is an Alma. Right, so an Olem is a young lad, but there clearly is when he's talking to Shaul, he calls him a Na'ar. When he's talking to David, he calls him a Na'ar. When he's talking to Avner, he calls him a Na'ar. But when he tells Avner to go out to the public and inquire about David, he says, "Go out to the public and ask them mi ha'olem hazeh." So what's the difference between a na'ar and an alam? So one of the Mefarshim points out that a na'ar is a diminutive. It is a not a derogatory term, but it is a term of little dignity. I'm sorry?
Not important.
Yeah, not important.
It's not important.
Not important. Now an alam is a young lad. It reflects the age of the person and his stage in life, but not his importance. It is a, or lack of importance, I should say. An olem is a more mechubad way of referring to him. So right here at the very beginning, you already see this tension in Shaul. Here you have a guy, he doesn't even know him yet, but here you have a guy who is about to go and confront Goliath, and Shaul wasn't willing to do that himself. So he is putting down David, and he doesn't even know David yet, and he's not threatened by David. But there is some measure here of tension between feeling not threatened, but the need to establish his own sense of kavod, of dignity, of respect, at the expense of this guy who's basically going to show him up, whether David wins the battle or not. He at least had the gumption to go out and do it. But you see this tension here, because that's only when he talks to David does he call him a na'ar. When he talks to his trusted advisor Avner does he call him a na'ar. But when he tells Avner to go out to the public, then you put on a face. And out to the public, you pretend as though you're so happy with this and you call him an alem. So right at the very very outset, we begin to see a tension in how David and how Shaul relates and encounters David. Let's go back to the Abarbanel here. Further, this is reflected in an interesting Medrash. Medrash Shmuel, right over here, if you look on the right side of your screen. So, Amru, Shesha'al ha'im hu miperetz o mizerach. So the Medrash is also bothered by this question. Who is this Na'ar? What do you mean, who is this Na'ar? You know exactly who he is. You know? So the Medrash says, Shesha'al ha'im hu miperetz o mizerach. Does this young boy hail from the house of Yehuda through Zerach, or does he hail from the house of Yehuda through Peretz? Lefi shera'a bo tachsise malchus. He saw in David the qualities of rulership, of monarchy, of kingship, of leadership. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, Vayilba Shaul as David Madav. Shaul gave David his uniform to wear, his soldier's uniform. Shahayu Madav Shal Shaul Kimidaso Shal David. Apparently they fit. He fit the suit. And that is meant tarte mashma. He fit the suit not just physically. The tailor measured well for both of them, but it means he fit the suit. He could take David's place. Even though it says that Shaul was a foot higher than taller than everyone else, Amar, Shaul said to himself, "Im mi peretz hu melech yihyeh, im mi zerach hu adam yihyeh adam chashuv." If he comes from the house of Peretz, from Yehuda, then this guy is destined to be king. Or at least he could very well become king. If he's from Zerach, he'll be an Adam Chashuv. But in other words, the Medrash is also reflecting, apparently, this immediate tension that Shaul feels before anything of significance happens. And certainly, after he comes back from the war, after he's beaten Goliath. And the Abarbanel says, Afal Pisha b'Shaul k'siv. Even though when it comes to Shaul, he tells us that he was, you know, a foot taller than everybody else. In other words, he had great stature. Even though he had this great stature, Shaul felt somewhat minimized and maybe a little threatened by David, by this young schnook. As it were. So as the story just begins to unfold, you barely get a pasuk out, and the Navi is already planting these seeds in the minds of the reader to see that Shaul is already experiencing tension with David. Aval kafi apshat, but the simple read, says the Abarbanel, doesn't have anything to do anything with that. Don't read too much into it on a pshat level. What's the pshat? He wanted to know about David's father and his midos, and not about his family. Avner heshivo shalohayode. Avner didn't know. Ki haya Yishai b'mei Shaul zaken, because Yishai at that time had been an old man, and velohikir Avner eskvuroso, and Avner did not know his strength, his courage, or anything like that. And therefore, Shaul didn't ask anything when he dressed him in the uniform. He saw this really courageous guy, and he wanted to learn more about him. And when David came back from the victory against Goliath, with the head in his hand, as then Shaul midos aviv utchunosav, then he really got into it. He wanted to know his father's morals and his ethics and his character, and that's when he says, "Ben miata anar." Okay, umipnei ruach hara'a asher bo haya shocheach mi haya aviv David, ki mi oso makir oso liyos ragil l'shares lefanav, hine shachach mi haya aviv. Now, David had been a regular. He was playing the harp, right? So he was a regular musician in his private chambers. But this ruach ra'a, this depression, this spiritual malaise that overpowered him, caused him to forget who he was. And that's why it says, you know, who is this guy? Who's the son? Who is he the son of? He wanted to learn more about him. And not who is the guy. He wanted to learn about his family. Okay. So we have a few different approaches here to this thing about Shaul trying to find out who David is. And I think there's one more idea that I'd like to suggest to wrap this part of the shiur up. And that is, when he says, ben mi ha-na'ar hazeh, ur sha'al ata ben miza ha-elem, or when he comes back and he says, who are you? This is yet another Yosef connection, but I'm not pointing it out for the Yosef connection. That's just a side point. But the point is that he cannot believe what he's looking at. Just like the brothers couldn't believe that this is Yosef. Yosef, you know, the youngest brother, the baby brother, you know, the pretty boy, all of that. Shaul cannot believe that this, you know, young lad has the gumption, the gall, the courage, the bravery, and the success. And that, too, I think reflects a little bit of this inability for Shaul to see himself, right? Because if he cannot see this in somebody else, it also reflects on the fact that he cannot see his own shortcomings, as it were. He can't see the other person's greatness. All he sees is a young kid and he's in disbelief. I think that also reflects that he cannot see himself and his shortcomings. There's one, and therefore this is all laying the groundwork. The Navi is carefully laying the groundwork here for a very, very, very short-lived honeymoon between Shaul and David. But really there was no honeymoon. You know, David, Shaul might not have even realized himself that the honeymoon was over, but consciously. But clearly, he's already getting concerned. And there's one more point I want to make here in this setup, and that is, let's go back up to 54. Vayikach David es rosh haplishti vayivyehu Yerushalayim. Yeah, David takes the head of Goliath, he brings it to Yerushalayim, and Shaul sees him there. Pasuk 57, Ukeshuv David mehakoses haplishti, when David comes back from smiting Goliath, Vayikach oso Avner. Avner takes him, Vayivyehu lifnei Shaul, and he brings him to Shaul. It's like, you know, a fascinating contrast here. David is this powerful guy that just took down Goliath, and yet Avner is taking him like a little kid. You take him by the shirt collar. Vayikacho so Avner, vayivyehu lifnei Shaul, v'rosh haplishti biyado, and the head of the plishti is in his hand. Now Shaul is looking at him, and what Shaul does not, what Shaul may not understand, is that Shaul thinks he's looking at the head of a plishti, but what Shaul is looking at is his future. There he has David, this young guy from Beis Yehuda. The Medrash says he was already concerned, and he's holding the head of a king in his hand. That's him. And here, you know, maybe Hashem is sort of organizing events as such, that maybe Shaul should get a little bit of a hint. Of course he doesn't. But this is David, and indeed Shaul ultimately his head is chopped off, right? In the end. Okay. So that brings us to the end of the parak here. Vayomer elav Shaul ben miata anar, vayomer David ben avdecha Yishai beis halachmi. So where Shaul is concerned about who this guy is, for the reasons that we mentioned, some less benign reasons and some more benign reasons, but at the end of the day, David is entirely ignorant, you know, to the whole thing. David is, you know, whistling Dixie, as it were. He's just having a grand old time. He was victorious. He's thrilled to have done this for Shaul, and he is just in la la land as regards Shaul's already concern about who David is. And I think this, as we begin now, Perek Yud Ches, you get here to a fascinating contrast between Shaul and David. And I think this is summed up best in a statement of Chazal in Pirkei Avos. Haratz achar hakavod, anybody who chases glory, hakavod ratz mimenu. Glory and honor run away from such a person. Haratz min hakavod, somebody who runs away from glory and honor, hakavod ratz acharav. So the glory runs after him. And I think that's maybe a good way to frame the development of Shaul and David, and certainly as the story builds in these opening psukim. So let us begin with Perek Yud Ches. Vayhi kechalo so ledaber al Shaul. When David is finished speaking with Shaul, nefesh Yehonasan nikshirab nefesh David. Vayehavehu Yehonasan kinafsho. So Yonatan and David become fast friends, soulmates. Really close here. And Vayikachehu Shaul bayomahu, and Shaul takes David on this day.
I'd like to mention
that
Avner was the daughter of Shaul. So here the family of Shaul are involved with David.
Right.
Before it was Avner, the uncle.
Right.
And now his son.
Right. So I'd like you to, as we read these psukim, just to notice who is in love with David. Right? Let's just list them as we see them. So the first person who apparently has great love for David is Yonatan. Right? Vayehavehu Yehonatan kinafsho. Now It's a fascinating contrast here. Vayhi kichalo so ledaber al Shaul, v'nefesh Yehonatan nikshara b'nefesh David. It's like he finishes talking with Shaul, so maybe you would expect to hear the pasuk would say, and Shaul was so grateful to David, and Shaul loved David for what he had done for him and for Klal Yisrael. But we have, and when David is finished talking to Shaul, Yonatan is in love with him. Right? So here again, before anything even gets off the ground, we're seeing this contrast or this dichotomy. So Yonatan loves Shaul. Yonatan loves David. Shaul, by implication, not so much. Vayikachehu Shaul bayom ahu. And Shaul took him on that day. V'lo nisano lashuv beis aviv. And he did not allow him to go home. Now, I think there are two ways to read that pasuk, that he didn't allow him to go home. On one level, the simple pshat is, he was getting ready to have him marry off to his daughter, right? Didn't he promise that whoever would kill Goliath would marry his daughter? So on a simple pshat level, he didn't let him go home because, they got to get ready for the wedding. He's going to be a member of the royal family now. However, lo nisano lashuv beis aviv, that's a little more, that's a little bit too domineering. It's a little bit too overpowering. It's a level of control. If this was just about, maybe vayikacheu shal, he took him into his home and he got him ready for the wedding. Maybe that's what it should say. Or he gave him an honored place in the household. But that's a positive statement. What the Navi says is a negative statement. V'lo nisano, he did not permit him lashuv beis aviv. Why? Why didn't he permit him lashuv beis aviv? And I would argue the reason for that is, not to exaggerate this point too much, but if you have somebody who is, God forbid, in an abusive relationship, very often an abuser doesn't, and Lahavdil, I'm not saying that he was abusing him, although later he wanted to kill him, so I'm not sure if that's any better. But an abusive relationship, you try to cut the person off from their family and from other people. You want to totally dominate them and domineer them. And that's what Shaul seems to be doing here. V'lo nisano lashuv beis aviv. Doesn't allow him to go home. Now, again, this could be understood in two ways. And those two ways can reflect this tension that Shaul has with David. On the one hand, maybe he does really feel, this gratitude and this, something for David, and he wants him to marry his daughter. On the other hand, he is, feeling this sense of being threatened. Okay. Vayichros Yehonasan v'David. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just to interject one point, I was just looking back a little bit. Back in Perek Tezayin, the first one to actually fall in love with David, as it were, is actually Shaul himself.
Yes.
Because it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayavo David al Shaul, Vayamo Gvarav, Vayehavehu Ma'od.
Right.
Before the war.
Right.
It's interesting that Shaul was the first one, but he starts feeling threatened only after everyone around him feels the same way.
Right. And it seems that love might have waned, because if as I said a moment ago, that had there been something, some very positive feelings there. You would have thought that the Pasuk would have said something along those lines with this great victory that David had just performed for Shaul. He says, Avdecha. He does, and by the way, I'm going to go back there and restate that Pasuk. He says, Who are you? Ben Miata. In other words, he is basically saying, who are you? Who are you? Who's your father? In other words, whose loyalty are you? And David says to him, Ben Avdecha, I'm loyal to you. I'm your servant's. My father is your servant. I'm loyal to you. So yes. So I think that his feelings for David, and I think it's a beautiful point that originally it says Vayehaveu Shaul, but that wanes and gets even worse as other people seem to jump on that bandwagon. But
wasn't he a rabbi?
Yeah.
Wasn't he anointed already though?
Yeah, but Shaul. Yeah, but. The Navi already told him that he was going to be king, but Shaul doesn't yet know exactly who's coming down the pike. Shaul knows that it's coming. The Melucha has been ripped away from you, but he doesn't know exactly who and when it's coming down the pike.
What I want to say was David didn't say. Ani Avdecha, he said, Avi Avdecha. So that's also a little telling, no?
That is an interesting point, but the question that was asked was Ben Miata.
Right.
In other words, who's over you? And he says, Avdecha Yishai, your servant Yishai. So if my father, if I'm kafuf, if I am. Humble before my father, then my father is humble before you, so I'm humble before you. Okay. Vayichrod Yonatan v'David bris behavaso osokenaf shaul. Again, Yonatan loves him, and perhaps when Shaul sees this tremendous love that Yonatan, his beloved son, has for David, that builds his own sense of. Lack of self, self-esteem. How could it be that my beloved son, loves this guy who I feel a little threatened by? By yispashet Yehonasan es hami'il asher alav, right? And Yehonatan removed his mi'il, his cloak. By nehu leDavid umadav ad charbo ad kashto ad chagoro. So here you have the heir apparent. Crown prince, right? Crown prince. This would be This would be YBS. We have Yonatan ben Shaul, right? In Lahavdil, the Prime Minister Bennett was just in the UAE meeting with MBZ, right? This is YBS. This is the Crown Prince. And the Crown Prince is basically giving all the accoutrements of power to David. Vayetze David b'chol asher yishalchenu Shaul yaskil vayisimeu Shaul al anshei milchama. So here's something very interesting. Oh, and again, another Yosef connection here. We have being given a cloak, and this action of giving a cloak adds to a sense of kina, of the jealousy, and that jealousy in this case is Shaul, right? And by Yetze David, B'chol Asher Yishlachenu, Shaul Yaskil. And now David goes out with the troops, and wherever he goes, he's successful. And who, again, this is not a Yosef shir tonight, but I can't help but make the connections. Yosef also is called Ish Matzliach, right? He is having success wherever he goes. By Yisimehu, Shaul Alan She'am Elchama, and he puts him over the, the armed forces, right? Okay. Yosef is put over all the, the head person in the Beit HaSoar. Yitav beinei chol ha'am, v'gam beinei avdei Shaul. And this was good in the eyes of the people and in the eyes of the servants of Shaul. And once again, the implication, Barbara is correct. There's another implication here that not Shaul, right? So, Vayhi bevoam b'shuv David me'akosas haplishti v'teitzen hanashim mikol yirei Yisrael ashir v'hamecholos. And now you have all the women coming out to sing and praise. Who are they singing and praising? Shaul. Likras Shaul hamelech. Betupim b'simcho v'shalishim. They're coming out to praise Shaul HaMelech. And what do they say when they come out to praise him? Vata'anena hanashim ha-misachakos vatomarna hikasha'ul ba'alafav v'david b'revavosav. They dance and they sing and they chant. Shaul has killed thousands and David has killed 10,000s. And that bothers Shaul. Now, why should it bother Shaul? This is all a praise of Shaul. Vatomarna, the women go out likrat Shaul Hamelach, not likrat Shaul v'David, likrat Shaul. And even though they are doing this likrat Shaul, and David's win is Shaul's win, and David's glory is Shaul's glory, Shaul doesn't see it that way. Vayichar l'Shaul me'od vayirah be'enav hadavar hazeh. Vayomer nasnu leDavid revavos v'li nasnu alafim. Look what they gave to David. They praise him with 10,000s and me only thousands. Ve'od lo ach hamelucha. And just a bit more. All he lacks is the melucha. And of course, when we'll learn Megillas Esther, we'll think about Achashverosh and Haman, and we'll think back to this pasuk over here,
yep.
Right? Rakak he say, and then a Yosef connection again, right? Rakak he say gadol that Paro was the only thing above Shaul and above Yosef, and of course. Maybe intentionally or not intentionally, David here is Odlo Achameluha. He's basically everything but the king. That's his stature amongst the people, at least in Shaul's eyes. So yet another Yosef connection, right? So who loves Shaul so far? Yonatan loves Shaul. The people, at least Vayitav Hadavar, it was very good what was happening with David. Avdei David. And now the women coming out to sing praise. They all love David. They all love David. And every ounce of love that David is showered upon, Shaul feels is being taken away from him. Right? I believe... If anybody here is a historian of commerce, and I believe the mercantilistic system, mercantile system, believed that there was a certain amount of wealth in the world, and if you had X, that means that I didn't. Capitalism, believes that there could be multiple sources of developing wealth, right? But in the mercantilistic system, if you laid claim over and colonized South America and you owned the gold in South America, that means that there was less gold for everybody else, right? But so Shaul sort of looked at things that way, at least in relationship-wise. The more people loved David, that means the less they loved him, right? They couldn't have Ahava Pishnayim. It could only be Ahava Bachetzi. So, Vayimi Macharas Vatitzlachur Elim Ra'ah El Shaul. So Shaul gets this malaise, as a divine cause, Vayitnabe B'toch HaBayis. And he has this. I skipped the pasuk. Vayhi Shaul Oyen et David mehayom huvahala, and Shaul was Oyen. Exactly, Oyen means is a question, but we can take the English translation here for our purposes tonight, and that he was jealous of him. Yeah. Go ahead.
From the word ayin.
Yeah. Right. There could also be a cognate here related to inui, even though it's not written that way, but we'll leave that for another time. And Shaul had a divine calling. And David was going about his merry way, totally oblivious to everything that's going on. V'hachanit biyad Shaul. And the spear is in Shaul's hand. Maybe I will accidentally stab the wall, and Shaul will come between me and the spear, between the wall and the spear. In other words, he wasn't quite ready to go head on and try to kill David, frontally. Maybe by accident, or what could be perceived as an accident, maybe. What? Yeah, but I think it's different when when he goes and he actually tries to kill Shaul to kill David sort of like head on. This seems to be a little bit more indirect. Like, why didn't you say what does it mean akeb David uvakir? I will hit him and the wall. Just now, go to take a sword and I'm going to chop off his. I'm going to chop off his head. But it seems to be, he's not quite doing it exactly head on. And maybe he could, if he would succeed afterwards, he could, explain it away. It was an accident. He was hitting the wall, Yeah, go ahead. Barbara, you wanted to say something?
If he did it once, I could understand that. But it said he did it twice.
Right.
So it said more that they were sent there.
Right. Well, David eluded him. David eluded him twice. It's not that he was doing it by accident, but he was setting it up as it could be less than intentional. Vayira Shaul milifnei David, and now when his plan is confounded twice, now he's starting to get nervous. Ki haya Hashem imo umeim Shaul sar. Because Shaul, I think, realized at this point that Hashem was with David and not with him. Vayisirehu Shaul me'imo, vayisimehu lo sar elef. So what do you do to the competition? You give him a promotion. Right? Vayisimehu lo sar elef. Vayitzei vayavo lifnei ha'am. So, the worst thing to do is to make it appear publicly that you're somehow jealous of this guy. So you're going to give him a promotion. But you're also putting him in a pretty precarious spot where he is now, in a more dangerous position, the higher up.
Like David did to Uriah.
Yeah, what David later did to Uriah. Vayetze vayavu lifnei ha'am, and he goes out and before the people. Vayihi David l'chol drachav maskil v'Hashem imo, and David was successful in everything he did. Another Yosef connection. Vayar Shaul asher hu maskil me'od vayagar mipanav, and Shaul saw this, and he was truly fearful. V'chol Yisrael Yehuda ohev es David, and the entire Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda all love David, but not Shaul. But Shaul doesn't. Ki hu yotze uba lifneihem. Vayomer Shaul el David. Who else loves David? Vayomer Shaul el David. Hine biti agdola meirav osa ten l'chal isha. He promised a wife. He's going to give her meirav. And Shaul says, "Who am I? Amar al tihi yadi bo tihi bo yad." And Shaul says, let my hand strike him, let the hand of the Philippines strike him. In other words, he put him in a position, again, where David could be, could be taken out. Now, David's response, totally oblivious to everything. Vayomer David el Shaul, just like Yosef, by the way, again, another Yosef connection. Vayomer David el Shaul, mi anochi u mi chayai, mishpacha savi bi Yisrael. Who am I? What am I? Mi ani omeani ki eyecha son lamelech. I should be son-in-law to the king. Haratz achar haratz min hakavod. He who runs away from honor, dignity, and glory, the glory comes after him. Vayihi be'ez teis meirav ba'shol l'David. Vayihi nidna l'adriel ha'mechol asi li'isha. At the time that meirav should have been given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel. Vateahav michal ba'shol. Here is another person who loves Shaul. Michal. And Shaul thought it was a good idea. I will give her, my daughter, to him, and she can serve as a snare for him, so that the plishtim may kill him. You can become my son-in-law now, even through his second daughter. The point of the matter being that everyone, everywhere we look in the setup over here, loves David. The Am, the Avdei Shaul, the beloved son Yehonatan, Yehuda, Yisrael, Meirav, Michal, everyone is described as loving Shaul. And I think that, as loving David. And I think the reason for that is to drive home the point that every expression of ahava that the people felt was like a dagger in the heart of Shaul. And I think here is something very, very powerful. That that love cannot be bought, and even respect and dignity cannot be bought. It has to be earned. You can buy a show of respect, but that's not really respect, right? You cannot buy respect. You certainly cannot buy love. And it doesn't say that the people respected David, although I'm sure they did. They loved him, right? And he did this great thing for them, and he was their leader. Sorry, I love him. Sorry, whatever. And he killed Goliath. So I'm sure there was respect over there, but there was something deeper than the respect. And deeper than respect is something emotional, and that's love. And that comes not through chasing it, right? You don't get love and respect through chasing it. You get it through humility and through having a sense of self-respect and self-esteem. David was fine being a shepherd boy. David was fine being the son of an Eved to Shaul. David was fine, being a cog in the monarchy of Shaul HaMelech. He was fine with all of that. The only thing he wasn't fine with was the honor and dignity of Klal Yisrael being swiped at by Goliath. Then he stood up. right? So what's the difference between a person that receives the kavod, or receives the honor? That's somebody who bestows honor and respect and concern for others. And that's what David did in great measure here. He put his life on the line for the dignity of Klal Yisrael, for the dignity of Hashem, for the respect of Hashem. And that's the kind of gumption that you're running after, that type of situation. That's what garners a person respect. Not running after the kavod. Running after defending another's kavod gives you respect. David was fine going home. David was fine with everything. But Shaul couldn't bear to have that. Shaul could not. And the fact that the love of others to David made him feel less or more jealous means, if I may apply modern psychology to an ancient text for a moment, that he didn't really love himself properly. He didn't feel good about himself. Because if he did, number one, he would have had the gumption to stand up to the people all those years early, all that time earlier, with Agag and Amalek, and earlier on, we don't have to rehash all that. But if a person has a good sense of self, then they can stand up and do the right thing, because they know they're doing the right thing, because they feel good in their own skin. But apparently, this, what we're seeing now, is just really a further expression of why the melucha was taken away from Shaul to begin with. Because a person who doesn't have that self-respect and self-love to begin with cannot really be a strong leader who can lead others. David, oblivious. He's good. He's fine. Mapsut. He's happy with who he is and with what he does. The only thing he cannot abide is when the dignity and respect of Klal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam are being attacked. Then he's going to stand up. And somebody like that has the kelim for malchus. Okay, so we're going to pause here, and I'll take your comments or questions, and we'll pick it up Mirtz Hashem next week. Yeah, go ahead.
Question. What is it that Saul thought that Michal would be a mokesh to him? I don't understand why.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, Mirtz Hashem. It's a discussion.